Our text for this morning is recorded in St. Paul's letter to the congregation at Philippi, the second chapter. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray now that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. In the final weeks of the church year, as well as the opening weeks of Advent, we often focus on the coming of our Lord and Judgment Day. Judgment Day is often something that we maybe have a tendency to joke about a little bit. Our culture likes to kind of poke fun of the whole idea as if it's some type of silly concept. And yet, inside of every one of us, there is a sense that there is a certain accounting that must take place and that must happen. There is a sense of judgment right in our own hearts and consciences. And a lot of times when we look ahead to this day, we have great questions about what will this be like? What will that day of judgment actually in reality be like? Scripture certainly gives us some hint, and yet there seem to be a lot of places where we'd like to fill in the blanks a little bit too. Different artists have tried to depict this scene. Michelangelo, inside of the Sistine Chapel, as you are leaving the chapel, has the Great Judgment Scene painting, and he decided that on one of the faces of the individuals, he would put one of the Pope's assistants that he disliked, who had criticized his work. And he painted this man's face in his agony and terror in hell. Imagine that guy coming out of church every day. There's my face. It's hard for us to try to envision what that day will actually be like and what that scene will look like. That each person will come forward to stand before the exalted Christ and to face him in judgment. Our text today transports us to that day. It says, at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. On that day, everyone will truly know and understand who this Jesus of Nazareth truly was and is. That in Christ all the fullness of the Godhead dwells in bodily form, in human form. What an amazing thing. What a different perspective on the incarnation we will have on that day. In eternity, there will be only two forms of submission to Christ. But understand this, there is nothing but submission to Christ in eternity. There are no nuances. There is no middle ground. There are no little shades of degrees of difference here and there. There is nothing but submission to Christ. The first form that this takes, that I'd like to point out, is that of forced, regretful submission. Those who did not bow to Christ in faith in this life. And those who now only, after they leave this life, have come to understand and realize that he alone was the mediator between God and man. Jesus alludes to this in the account of the what we often refer to as the parable, although it may have been an actual event, the story between the rich man and Lazarus. Remember how Lazarus died and in his faith was taken to Abraham's side by the angels? And we think how the rich man died and was in hell and was crying out in torment for just one drop of water to cool his tongue because of his agony and so on. But remember in that story, that account, how the rich man in hell suddenly became the greatest evangelist for Christ, suddenly became the spokesman in hell for the Bible. Have someone go back and tell my brothers. Was he ever supportive of mission work in his suffering? You see, ultimately, finally, eternally, every knee will bow. and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. How sad, though, for those that learned that too late. I think of Pontius Pilate, who stands there as the great Roman procurator and judge over Christ as Jesus comes before him to be put on trial and so on. And he asks him that question, "Don't you realize that I have the authority to free you or crucify you?" Imagine Pilate on Judgment Day now standing and facing the same Christ, still bearing the very scars that he inflicted by his unjust crucifixion of our Lord, and now having to stand in front of him and be judged by him. This is not the form of submission that our Lord desires for any one of us, or for anyone in this world. The second form is the submission of faith. You see, the Son of Man must be seen and understood as a Savior, which is what his whole mission was about, to come and rescue us from that great day. The Son of Man didn't come to become a human being just in theory, or kind of like an actor. The Son of God didn't become man just like an actor to kind of portray something. But he became a human being in every way, just as you and I are, with the exception of sin. And isn't it ironic that the one thing that distinguishes his humanity from ours, the lack of sin, is the very thing that he has come to spare us from on this great mission. He truly is Emmanuel, God with us. Not God against us, but God with us. And those who have come to know him and see him in this light by the work of the Holy Spirit, to understand him as God who has come to be with us, to rescue us, this is the submission our Lord desires to see in us. A great church father by the name of Chrysostom in the 4th century said this. I've always loved this statement. In order for a mediator to join two sides together, he must belong to both and be able to identify with both. Our Savior had to be divine and human, and we see that here in our Lord Jesus Christ. One of the great stories in the Old Testament that often reminds me of the judgment scene and of seeing this man, this human being of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, suddenly in a completely different light, is the great story of Joseph. Remember how his brothers mistreated him and sold him? They were going to kill him, but decided to sell him into slavery and thought they'd never see him again. And all of a sudden, they come to have to face this ruler in Egypt, number two in the land, and have to stand in front of him and be judged by him and so on. And then to suddenly find out that he's their very little brother that they sold into slavery. That in this one human being was packed all of that, as well as the authority that he had and the power to now rescue them. What a picture that is for us as well of Christ. Even though you and I have done so many things against him, yet in his great love for us, this one man, this one human being now sits on the throne of heaven, the one who's gone to the cross for everybody here to pay for every sin we've ever done. And that very one now sits there looking for those who long to come to him in faith, waiting to welcome them into the mansions of heaven. There's a quotation that I wrote down about how we can sometimes be afraid of that day of judgment. That was from a devotion by a Bishop Locke, a Norwegian bishop. And I just love this. Listen to this. When Satan causes you to tremble in fear of eternal perdition, he is practicing the art in which he is the great master, that of lying. But God is true, and his words shall stand. He says to you, "I, even I, am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for my own sake, and will not remember thy sins." In heaven, it will be fun to talk to those who knew Jesus of Nazareth as a human being, and yet later came to know him also by faith as the great Savior, and bowed the knee to him in faith. Think of the kids that he played with in his neighborhood, maybe some of whom later came to believe in him. We think of that centurion who went to actually be part of Christ's crucifixion and then stood there and said afterwards, "Surely this was a righteous man." How fun it will be to talk to those individuals about when the light came on, you might say, when the Holy Spirit worked that faith in them, and how grateful we should be it has happened for us as well. Today is the day to bend the knee to this Christ, and someday he will lift you up to the mansions above. Amen. Please rise for prayer. Come, Lord Jesus, be with us, grant us faith in you, that we may always stay prepared for the great day of your return. We ask it in your saving name. Amen.